This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, we will start the evening with a recital of a portion of the glorious Quran. And we are honored and pleased to have with us Hafiz Rashid Brown, who will recite for us verses 250, 251
and 252 from chapter 2 Al-Baqarah. I give you now Hafiz Rashid Brown.
Thank you.
May he always be around, inshallah. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, it is a further privilege for me once again, on behalf of our host, Salih Muhammad, to share a platform with our great brother from Durban, Ahmad Dira. I have no intention of boring you with introductions. He needs no introduction. He has many critics, but those people who do nothing never are criticized. And those people who criticize find it impossible to do 1/10 or 1/100 or 1/1000 of what Brother Dieter has done. I don't have to tell you that he is a household name, not only here, not only in the Middle East, but throughout the whole world. It is therefore my esteemed pleasure to introduce you to him again tonight and to his topic. Brother Ahmad Dieter will speak to us on the topic, Islam's answer to the new world order. May I just remind you that this is a formal gathering. It therefore has a format. Brother Ahmad will speak to us, and thereafter, when it comes to question time, I will remind you of what the format will be. And now I have a great pleasure in calling upon Ahmad Dira to speak to him.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقتل داود جالوت وأعطاه الله الملك والحكمة وعلمه ما يشاء ولولا دفع الله الناس بعضهم ببعض لفسدت الأرض ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون ولولا دفع الله الناس بعضهم ببعض لفسدت الأرض ولكن الله ذو فضل على العالمين صدق الله صدق الله العظيم Mr. Chairman and my brothers and sisters I repeated one of the ayahs from Surya that our brother has read our Qari the voice from heaven Alhamdulillah he was reading as the chairman indicated in Surah Al-Baqarah starting from ayah number 250, 51, 52 and so on I read to you from that same surah, ayah number 251. And here is a happy occasion that this is one of the rare occasions when the Muslim, the Jew and the Christian, they can be united on this first statement of the Quran, ayah number 251, says, وَقَتَلَ دَعُودُ جَالُوتَ And Dawood has a Dawood Islam, a top date. He killed Goliath. وَقَتَلَ دَعُودُ جَالُوتَ وَعَطَاهُ اللَّهُ الْمُلْكَ And Allah gave him dominion, وَالْحِكْمَةَ And wisdom, وَعَلَّمَهُ مِمَّا يَشَاءُ And whatever else he willed. The Jew says, they will kill Goliath. The Christian says, they will kill Goliath. The Muslim says, they will kill Goliath. Amazing. All three are agree. But Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam, he slew this giant Goliath. Now, the next statement after that, Allah says, وَلَوْلَا دَفْعُ اللَّهِ النَّاسَ بَعْضَهُمْ بِبَعْضٍ Had he not checked out one group of people by another, لَفَسَدَتِ الْأَرْضُ There would be much mischief in the land. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهُ ذُو فَضْلٍ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ But Allah is full of bounty to all the worlds, to all His creatures. The subject of this evening's talk, Islam's answer to the new world order, hangs from this Quranic ayah that if Allah did not check up one group of people by another, there will be much mischief in the land. There has always been, in Allah's creation, a balance of power. In the time of the Prophet, East and the West, the Persian Empire and the Roman Empire, they were advocates, fighting. They were the balance of power. In recent times, we had communist Russia and the Western democracies, America. Both of them with atom bombs, checking one another. Had it not been for one group checking by the other, there would have been, as Allah says, much mischief in the land. Imagine Russia without America. Russia would not have done. She marched into Afghanistan, invaded Afghanistan. And India, Pakistan, all would have been around like 9 years they would have fallen. The whole thing was hers. But you need somebody to check it out. So America comes along with their own interests and they start helping me. People. And one of the mightiest nations on earth, the Russians, with their atom bombs and all, they were defeated. And the balance was there all the time. But America doesn't go to extreme. She wanted to invade Cuba. Cuba. Russia says, you invade Cuba. So you can feel atom bomb. 1956, Britain, Israel, and France, they struck at Egypt. Illusion, and they were almost on the way to knocking it out. The blessings of America stay. Two for America and for Britain, France, and Israel. America, Russia gives a warning in 1956. They say, you stop, you are invading immediately, or I rocket bomb Paris and London. Immediately, there is a balance of power going on. But now there's a bubble, the Russian bubble has burst. There's only one superpower now, America. And she is running off, you can see. Panama, she invaded Panama. Granada. Now, Somalia. She's throwing her weight around. And there is nobody to check her. But Allah says there must be a balancing force. There must be a balancing force. And they have discovered this balancing force, the West, in Islam. That Islam is now the target. The Muslim world is the target of America. She is the challenge. She is the challenge to the West. Islam is the challenge. And there is no doubt about that. See, from every aspect, from every point of view, the Muslim is telling the West that, you know, your promiscuousness is not good. Your alcoholism, your drunkenness is not good. Your gambling is not good. You eating the flesh of swine is not good. At every step, the Muslim is telling the West where to get off. This is not right. This is not right, sir. This is not right, sir. And we have been a challenge to the West for centuries. The Muslims were the only people that went to Europe as kings. You know that Muslim nations were the only Muslim people who went, the only Asiatic people who went to Europe as kings, as rulers. The Phoenicians had called them as traders, the Jews were taken as fugitives or captives, the Muslims went as rulers. They went and ruled Spain for 800 years. And this was at the time when Europe was just beginning to become conscious of the nationality that we are a people. At that time in their history, the Muslims were knocking at the door from Vienna to Dutch. In Austria, and this side in Spain, 800 years. So the Muslim has made an eternal challenge. Religiously also, Islam has come out of Christianity, and is telling the Christians that the fulfillment of the teachings of Moses and Jesus are found in Muhammad. So religiously, the Muslim is a challenge. In his social way of life is a challenge, so he's a challenge. And now, he is becoming the focus of the Western world. So they are now planning, the West is planning, a new world order. And here is a beautiful publication from Shabbat, a beautiful publication. What's behind the new world order? If you saw this in the bookstore, you might. And it says there's a hidden agenda, almost no one dares to discuss. Would you like to know? The hidden agenda, which no one dares to discuss. And they are discussing it here. How will it affect you? How will it affect you? Now, everybody will buy this book. This has become a bestseller. But now when you open the book, you find it has really nothing to do with this new world. This is the rules. ascribe them of selling them books. You read inside that this, the whole book, is concerned with Pope bashing His Holiness the Pope, bashing the Roman Catholic Church. This is one of the sects of Christendom called the Seventh-day Adventists. They published this book. Now, in the guise of telling you about what's behind the New World Order, they are now brainwashing you, programming you into bashing the Roman Catholic Church and Baba the Pope. In this book here, this little book, they want to say that His Holiness the Pope is the beast. In the book of Revelation in the Bible, the last book of the Bible, the beast is mentioned, a creature, you know, who is the filthiest thing, thinking evil, and his number is 666. The number of the beast is 6. There's a code name. There's a code name for the beast is 666. Now this book on page 49 proves three times over that it is the Pope is the beast. The Pope is the beast. The Pope is the beast. From different angles, they're trying to prove. Then they are now advertising a book. And the title of the book is Will America Survive? Will America Survive? And it has become number one bestseller in America. Naturally, every American who is literate, he wants to hear, what about my country? Will it survive? What is the problem? How does it affect me? And it's a 672 page book. Will America Survive? 672 pages. But this book is 100 years old. How did it become the world's bestseller? It's 100 years old. Well, the Americans are geniuses. The title of the book was The Great Controversy, written by Mrs. Ellen G. White, a divorcee. She created the movement, she had the spare time and the energy to write 672 pages attacking the Roman Catholic Church and proving that Saturday is the Seventh Day they should have tradition. 672 pages. So, everything is gone out of business. Nobody wants to buy that book anymore. But the Americans are geniuses. They changed the title. The title of the book is the same. 672 pages, written by Mrs. Ellen G. White. You change, give it a new clue, will be reformed. The new title is Will America Survive? And will become bestseller. Same way, same name, but different game. Same name, different game. So, I was tempted to go through this book, but I said, no, this book is a hoax. It's a hoax. But now this is how they sell. Because the bestseller just changed the title. The old title you used to, you won't buy that anymore. You won't buy it. This is now. Will America survive? Every American wants to buy. Bestseller. Now, this new world order has been invented by George Bush. George Bush. This is what he says. This is what he said. It is a big idea. This new world order is a big idea. A new world order, where diverse nations are drawn together in common cause. Diverse nations, different nations, get together, common cause. Only the United States has both a moral standing. Only the United States has a moral standing and the means to back it up. Says President George Bush in the State of the Union address, reports the Los Angeles Times of 18 February 1991. So America has come to the forefront to lead the world into this new world order. And we can see, she has the moral standing. One of the most ignored nations of earth. And she can get the moral standing. In the United Nations, more than 100 resolutions have been passed, I'm sorry, have been mooted against the illegitimate child Israel. And every one of them, America vetoes. The whole world is on one side, and America and the illegitimate child Israel, they are on the other side. They win the day. They have the power of veto. they have to be mistaken. That's a moral standard.
Why do you have some 10 resolutions?
She veto.
Anything you say about Israel says veto. Anything the whole world says about Israel,
veto. 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 More than 110 vetoes in the United Nations. That gives her the right to now go and throw her weight all over the world, wherever in Somalia, they're knocking heads into the Somalis, in Bosnia, Herzegovina. The people, the Muslims are struggling there to survive. And in that, they're going to put an embargo, an arms embargo upon the Muslims, the small community of Muslims, surrounded by the Croats and the Serbs. Well armed, they have their own munition factories, they manufacture it, but not for the Muslims, arms embargo. Nobody here supplies them with arms. And this is the moral standing. This is the moral standing of these Western nations, so-called Christians. But whatever even they do, they have a Christian banner. They say this is Christendom, this is Western Christianity. Britain, France, and America. They are the main Security Council members, and they veto anybody says no, no, no. Anybody tells me, says, look, please help the poor Boston Muslims. You know, every nation has a right to self-defense. It's a fundamental human right. Given the master historian in his decline and fall of the Roman Empire, he said, that in the state of nature, every person has a right to defend his person and his position. And if he extends hostilities, to a reasonable amount of satisfaction and retaliation. Everybody has a right to defend himself, his wife, children, family, possessions, everyone has a right. But not the Muslims. The Muslims of Serbs, of Bosnia, they have no right. Let them be slaughtered, massacred, cutting, cleansing, wipe them out. Mitterrand, the Prime Minister of France, he said, I will never allow Islamic State in Europe. I will never allow. Who are you? You are a God. What makes you to say that? No, it's a right that you have. If a nation, a group of people, they choose, look, we'll have a communist system. They have a right. The majority of the people in a piece of land, they say, we will have a communist system. They have a right. They say, we will have a Hindu system. They have a right. They say, we will have a Christian government. They have a right. So the majority of the people in any situation, they have a right to choose the way of life that they want. But not for Muslims. No, no, no. So I will never allow, in other words, the direct intervention to see that it doesn't happen. Now, America has become the impasse. And I have had personal experience of this new world order. Just last month, I wrote to the land of liberty, fraternity, and equality. In what country is that? What country? The land of liberty, fraternity, and equality. Now, the French Revolution, France. The revolution that took place, this is for liberty, fraternity, and equality. For whom? For whom? For themselves. 1 million Algerians they killed before the Algerians got the freedom from the French. That liberty is for themselves. Fraternity is for themselves. That equality is for themselves. This is the hypocrisy of the West. For the America, everything that's American, super, that is law, that is hot, that is right. The French, the same. The British, the same. This is the sickness of the Western nations. They have a stick in their hand, and might is might. You have a stick in your hand, you are the same. But the person says, this buffalo is mine. The cow is a black animal. Buffalo. Buffalo is mine. So when you claim your buffalo, it's your buffalo. But I give you one stick on the head. So whose buffalo is it? He says, my, I give you another one. So whose buffalo is this? Your ankle is yours. The stick is in his hand. He says, help me. Mine is right. So, in this land of liberty, fraternity, equality, and equality, I'm called on election law. On the 15th of September last month, I leave Durban, and on the morning of the 16th, I land in London, and across the channel, the same morning, I'm in France. I arrived at Charles de Gaulle Airport. The immigration officer, he does things automatically. He doesn't care This is, as soon as I present my passport, he takes my passport, he opens it, looks for the visa, looks for the visa. And then the visa given to me by the French embassy in South Africa, costing me $200. The most expensive visa I ever had in my life. $200 for the visa. So, with a valid visa, the guy sees the visa, and at the opposite page is a blank page. So he stamps it. Charles de Gaulle, Airport, 16 September. He's doing mix up to me. He sees this toady, and he sees this beard. And he tells me, him to ring his head, that this is something strange. This is a strange creature that has come into France. There are some 2 million Muslims there, mostly Arabs, from Morocco, and from Nigeria, and from Jews. But generally, they are all, you know, they have nothing on their heads. And they have no beards, the clean shaven, but almost all of them. But here is a strange creature with some intent to identify him as somebody. He stands for something, and I do. I believe in the principle that a label shows your intent, wear it. If your label, your identity shows what you stand for, wear it, unless your life is in danger. I believe in this. That this is my identity. I want the people to know I'm a Muslim. And this also shows us, look, there's a combination. I'm a Muslim. I wear this identity. He sees his identity and lights begin to blink in his hair. So this guy's an angel. So he types my name on the computer. And I feel it. I can't see it, but I know what's going on. He sees my name. And he presses a button. I didn't see him pressing the button. Just within a few seconds, I see three guys and behind him over the shirt, they're looking up from the outside. The enclosure in which he's seated. But maybe curiosity mongers, they just want to know what's going on there. And there are nothing else to do. But no. There are special branch people to hear about what's going on, what I'm going to say. 3 hours they interrogated me. 3 hours. And they kept me for 11 hours before pushing me back to London. I said, I'm going to go to Saudi Arabia. There's a visa waiting for me at the Saudi embassy. Please let me go and get the visa and send me to Saudi Arabia. The ticket is here. I got a ticket for Saudi Arabia. I said, no. I said, send the police with me. So I go along and get the visa and come back. I said, no. So your son can go. I said, right. Let my son go and give you my passport. He said, no. You have your passport at least 7 the so passport was limited. So you have to get the visa. Ultimately, the first one came to London, and from London, I got a visa to go to Saudi Arabia, and I made a trip last month. He wanted to put me on that danger list. What's the strategy? What happened? What did I do? That I should deserve such an honor from the French government. I remember. I see. You see, I have numerous books. I've written these booklets. They are available for you. If you come and take them on the way there, we are pick them up. You can pick them up. I have written books. Booklets, actually. What the Bible says about Muhammad, and I have it translated into French. Same book in French. Muhammad, the natural successor to Christ. I have it translated into French. Muhammad the greatest. Muhammad the greatest. I translated into French. Al-Quran, the miracle of miracles. I translated into French. And all my other little books, about 20 of them, 14, 20 of them, we had them translated into French. But we have no market in South Africa for French books. So I'm trying to get through to France. And I managed to get a list of 300 Muslim names. Names and addresses of Muslims in France. So I post 300 parcels. And they're going to land in France with a bag. Then they get the customs there, they notice identical parcels. 300 of them. What's going on? And they look closely at the parcels. It's Muslim. Every parcel is addressed to Muslims. So I was a conspiracy at work. there must be something here that the people are playing a role for the friend government. If we have 300 pastors, identical pastors, same size, and all of these Muslims, naturally, the friend became suspicious. So they started opening my books, start reading them. And they found something. They did find something. That is the most dangerous book. Salman Rushdie's Satanic Verses is translated in French. His kosher is halal. Ahmad Dilat's books are dangerous. Land of liberty, fraternity, equality. Double standards. This one here is a danger to France. What makes it a danger? They open up and they read. I'm quoting a Frenchman here, a French historian by the name of Lamartine. In 1854, about 150 years ago, this Frenchman wrote a book called The History of the Turks in French. And the Turks, incidentally being Muslims, he spoke something about the Nabi Karim Salah, about the Holy Prophet. Speaking about the Nabi, he says in his book, Lamartine, which I wrote here, in English as in French, speaks of us. Turks being Muslims, they follow the religion of Islam, and the Prophet is the Holy Prophet Muhammad. And this man Muhammad, what he has to say about him, he says, the greatness of Turks, smallness of means and outstanding results are the three criteria of human genius who could dare to compare any great man in modern history with Muhammad. He dares you to produce your candidate to compare with this man Muhammad. Greatness of purpose, what the man is out to do. Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. A reclamation of the world of mankind. Saving us from idol worship, from adulteries, from conflicts, from gambling, from racism, from recognition of the whole of mankind, as Allah testifies. This is Wama Asallah, meaning, so we have not sent you Muhammad, except as a Muslim to the whole of mankind. That's just the greatness of God, what is how to do, retain the whole of mankind. Smallness of meaning is what he starts. His capital, Muhammad's capital. Before his mom, his father dies. By the time he's six, his mother dies. He's doubly orphaned by the time he's six. Then 2 years, his grandfather looks after him, whom he dies. Then he's looking after his grandfather to hide his tools. That's his capital. No one wanted to wake him up. No one wanted to pardon to wake him up. This, what is that smallness of means and outstanding results? 1 billion Muslims, 1,000 million Muslims in the world today. The fastest growing religion on earth today is Islam. We are not so successful here, but overall in the world, in America, is the fastest growing religion. In Britain, is the fastest growing religion, Islam. Outstanding results are the three criteria of human genius who could dare to compare any great man in modern history. He's daring you to produce a candidate to compare with this man Muhammad. There isn't anybody. And he ends his beautiful tribute by saying, our Nabi, philosopher, orator, apostle, legislator, warrior, conqueror of ideas, the restorer of rational beliefs, of a term without images, the founder of 20 terrestrial empires and of one spiritual empire. That is Muhammad. We regard all standards, whereby human greatness may be measured. We may well ask, is there any man greater than he? Is there any man greater than he? The answer is in the question. The answer is reposed in the question. Meaning, no man greater than Muhammad, the greatest man that ever lived was Muhammad. And he is confirming what Allah says, وَإِنَّ عَلَىٰهُ الْعَظِيمُ Most certainly now Muhammad stands on the highest pinnacle of religion. And the Frenchman confirms it. This the French authorities couldn't digest, couldn't stop. So all my books were returned. All the parcels came back. And you can understand, each and every parcel had a rubber stamp on, Unknown. 300 unknowns. How is it possible? No, but that's the only thing I could say. And people don't understand once again who can be approved, who should talk to. But how did this happen? That these parcels went out, posted, wasted.
the thing comes back, now, this is in person. I get the visa, I inform the people, look, I'm coming, on the 16th I'm arriving, and you can hear the lectures. So the Muslims there, they went to the Ministry of Interior for permission for my lecture. They got permission. These are the police state. Unlike South Africa, we have a meeting. You don't have to go and ask the government. City Hall, Cape Town, we have a meeting, you have a contract. You don't have to get a prior permission from the government. You're going to publish a book, you go and publish it. If somebody has objection, they can write it within the information, Department of Information. And if they think this is not worth, then call you up and tell you that this book is not right. And if you can defend yourself, you can defend your book. We have gone to popular against the government, and I've come to that before now. We are going against the government. So they give you a fighting chance. With all this apartheid regime, with justices and all, they give you a freedom of speech, which is second to none in the world. We have to give credit. Second to none in the world. City Hall, Cape Town, I'm going to lecture there. Christianity, communism of Islam. Which are the answers to the problems of South Africa? And no interference. Actually, in the thing, on the title, you can see that the man is going to prove that Islam is the answer, not communism and not Christianity. Islam is the answer, but no interference. This land of liberty is fertility. They give permission, the municipality give them permission for the fall, and they advertise. And somebody sees the advert. One would have been seeing the books. And immediately they activated the government to stop me from entering the country. Stop. And I was stopped. Double standards. Which this book, Satanic Verses, is halal, is jais, is kosher. Ahmad in that book are dangerous. Out of reach for the people in France. Now this reminded me that what is a nuclear power? France is a nuclear power with a nuclear bomb. That nuclear power gets shaken up by this old man. With this being this topic. It's something strange. What is it? Really? I'm that powerful. I'm that dangerous with nuclear power. They had a valid reason. To me, they had a valid reason. I was reading a book with my American, Dr. Joseph Adam Pearson. He wrote a book on the life of one of our professors. The worst been pushing. I think when we start making a big noise, making a propaganda, we make him famous. As Rushdie was made famous, people said, Rushdie, suddenly goes, people said, let's see what the suddenly goes is this. He became a bestseller. I said, no, this hadith, you don't have to forget him, Dr. Pearson, leave him alone. But in the crap that he excretes in his book, against the hadith, there is a jewel, there is a diamond. Living in that crack, in that filth, there is a jewel, a diamond. I found a diamond inside there. That was a sheep. In that stinking stuff, I found a diamond. The diamond is that Dr. Pearson, he says. He said, people who worry about nuclear weaponry falling into the hands of the Arabs. The rest is right. So when the Arabs will have their own war. See, the Iraq was trying to get it. The Arab Israel will knock it out. Libya, this is Libya might have it. Pakistan, the Islamic bomb, Pakistan. India has got it, it's okay. But Pakistan doesn't have it. Korea can have it, China can have it, Israel can have it, but Pakistan must not have it. Islamic bomb. So one day in this Arab time, they might buy one from China, they might buy one from Korea. And they're worried about the illegitimate baby, Israel. But any Arab nation getting that bomb, there will be one thing that we can call this Israel. And that's this illegitimate bastard child of America. That you can't tolerate. For that reason, Islamic bomb. So this American, he says, people who worry about nuclear weaponry falling into the hands of the Arabs. Fail to realize that the Islamic bomb has been dropped already. The Islamic bomb has been dropped already. Now, I want to give a chance to my sisters. Tell me,
way when this Quran is yours. First chance goes to my sisters. This American says that the Islamic bomb has been dropped already. That's in the past tense, huh? It's already dropped. Way when? Come, my sisters. This book is yours. They are available there in the front. Those of you who haven't got a Quran translation, I say, take one. Take a veteran currency. It's 2,000 pages. It's cheap. It's cheap. Allah is cheap. It's the best investment that you can ever make. This Quran. Everything on your fingertips. That index. Everything. Whatever you want to know on your fingertips. This book here. This Abdullah Yusufai. If you have one, you don't need another. But to give a present for birthday parties or wedding parties to the bride, to the groom, you better present when this Allah is Kala. But now I want to give this to my sisters. And this can be way and way. Where is my sister? Huh? Mokka. Huh? Ikra.
You lose nothing.
Where and where did this bomb fall?
The birth of Nabi Muhammad.
This book is yours. When you have time, you take this. He says, it fell the day Muhammad was born. She said, right. It fell the day Muhammad was born. The atom bomb of Islam fell the day Muhammad was born. He is the Islamic bomb. We don't have him. We take him for granted. We live in Durood Sharif and Salami and all that, mashallah. But we don't realize the mantle. The enemy, he realizes that Muhammad is the Islamic bomb. At the age of 40, he came to fruition. The first back and material of the Islamic bomb started getting collected in the Quran. This book that we left behind is the data material of the Islamic bomb. And my sin is that out of those data material, I have been taking out verses, rays of light out of that, to write my books. This is the only thing I knew and mean. The first book. What the Bible says about Muhammad. It starts inside. You take a booklet, it starts. This one starts with an ayah from the Quran. Bismillah. I mean, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ وَكَفَرْتُمْ بِهِ وَشَهِدَ شَاهِدٌ مِنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ عَلَى مِثْلِهِ فَآمَنَ وَاسْتَكْبَرْتُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ. From Surah Ahqaf, chapter 46, verse 10, and the whole book is a commentary on that ayah. It's my commentary on that ayah. Next one, Muhammad the natural successor to Christ. It starts, وَمُبَشِّرٍ بِرَسُولِ يَأْتِي مِنْ بَعْدِهِ اسْمُهُ أَحْمَدُ. Another ray of light in the Quran, from that atom bomb, from that data material that Muhammad s.a.w. left. I just borrow a verse, and I start my commentary. It's my commentary on that. This is what shaking the French, and shaking the world actually. See, Muhammad the greatest. It starts with another ayah from the Quran. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَّهُ لُكِمْ حَزِينَ. So most certainly thou, Muhammad, status on the highest spiritual behavior. From Surah Al-Qalam, chapter 16, verse 4. And my commentary. This one where Al-Quran, the miracle of miracle, starts. قُلْ لَإِنِ اجْتَمَعَتِ الْإِنْسُ وَالْجِنِ أَلَّا أَنْ يَأْتُوا بِمِثْلِ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لَا يَأْتُونَ بِمِثْلِهِ وَلَوْ كَانَ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ ظَهِيرًا. Surah Bani Israel, chapter 17, verse 88. I start with that in my commentary. So this is more powerful than the atom bomb. The nuclear power is shaken with this. See the logic of it, you can see that not just throwing murder people, the people are going to hell, you know, the people are having drunk cards, you know, you are like this, you are already promiscuous, you are so many quarter million abortions a year taking place in your country, quarter million abortions, innocent children, defenseless children, you murder them, quarter million, nothing of that kind. We are only giving you a commentary of these Quranic ayahs from that atom bomb that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam left. After that, rays of light are taken out and expanded. expanded, which makes it too hard for the flesh to swallow. Now, the actual time. See, this time is the challenge. John Bernard Shaw, a British playwright, he said, if any religion has a chance of conquering England, may Europe, within the next 100 years, that religion is Islam. Not with a gun, not with a grenade, but with England. If any religion has a chance of conquering England, may Europe, within the next 100 years, that religion is Islam. And then what? Islam is growing in Britain. And in France, there are 2 million Muslims there. And you have to talk to the people according to their background and experience. And to do that, before leaving for France, I learned French. You see, it's a commitment. If I go to a new country, I try to learn the language of the people. I was wanting to go to Indonesia, so I learned Indonesian. And in the city hall of Cape Town, I was demonstrating to the people, I said, you see, every language is beautiful, and every language is unique. But when we don't know the language, that language seems funny to us, silly to us. So I started telling the people, I said, if I want you people to vote for the silliest language that I'm going to speak. So saying, I said, look, I'm speaking English to you. You're Malays. I'm more bilingual than the Afrikaners. When you speak English, as good as your Afrikaners. At home you speak Afrikaans like the Afrikaner, and when you speak English, as good as the Englishman. You have most bilingual people. So I'm speaking English. It sounds natural to you. If I speak Afrikaans, as a mar exaggerated bar 8, did you say a poor belatek wechan, one that speaks me, wechan me. So you say, well, this is that some way of sin, you know, some funny way of sin. In fact, there's nothing funny about the language. There's nothing funny about the language. There's funny about my pronunciation, but nothing funny about the language. Then I quoted some verses in Zulu. We used to listen in Xhosa. Xhosa and Zulu are sister languages, dialects of the same language. Again, it's not so funny. Then I quoted Swahili. It's a Tazamini Nipa, Mayamu, Nami, Muyamu. Yabua, Nini, Mimi. Mimshiki, Mimuane. Wabua, Roho, Haina, Mimi, Nami, Fuka. Fuka. Come on, Mabiri, Mwana, Mimi, Wanae. And there was a smile on the audiences. Well, it sounds a little funny. Then, as a third gopra, kanganku, bankakiku, inila aku sendiri, jamahna aku tante hatla, karena hantu tiada berdekin tandulan, seperti yang kamu lihat pada kamu. And they were laughed. So that when they voted already. I didn't have to ask. You voted that the silliest and the funniest language is Islam. So I'm asking my audience, that it's, this is about that, with mostly my Muslim brothers and sisters, mostly Malays. Mostly Malays. So I said, what language is that? They don't know. I said, that's your language. They're enforced. This is your language. Your language is the silliest and the funniest language? How can you say such a thing? Yeah. No, the reason is, for 300 years we didn't hear it. And it's 10,000 miles away from here. So there's no chance of doing this today. So that language, because we didn't hear, it sounds the silliest and the funniest. But if you were an Indonesian or a Malaysian, this is the sweetest language, Teng Bokla, Tanganggu, Dan Kakipu. So now, I have this hobby of mine, I learned French. So that's the hardest language. I know Spanish, I can give you Spanish. Hebrew, I can give you. Nigerian, I can give you. So many languages, about 20 different languages I can give you. But the hardest I found was French. Came at this old age, wanting to learn new words, learn the pronunciation. And I forget, and again I have the thing in, and I get it, it falls off in front of my brain. It was ordeal, ordeal. But I did it! I did it while I'm traveling from Belgium to London to Hong Kong. I was a super dungeon, did I really care? Did I want to shoot the hook at your part? Cassie, je ne parle pas. Les gens se tirent, le vieux ne va pas. Mais si je m'en vais, je vous l'enverrai. I did it. I'm still standing on. I said, when I land in France, I'm going to tell these Muslims, I said, look, man, this old man, I took the trouble of learning this in French. Why can't you do the same? See, if this old man has only had to do it, why can't you do it? this is, you're speaking in language. This is a foreign language you need.
And it's a very difficult language, especially for those, I was told,
if you know English first, then French is very difficult. If you just, the tone you could pass in the French environment without knowing English, you can learn it quickly. But if you learn English first, because it's phonetic, it's a baby bat, baby cat, a baby bat, a baby man, French is not like that. So, it's very difficult. I learned it. Now, only the second book of Muhammad, the natural success of the Christ. I'm quoting an Afrikaans verse. Is it only English one? There's Afrikaans is there. And it's a very, very beautiful way of starting with the Afrikaans, I thought. I meet an African and apologize to him. I says, you know, sir, I'm in South Africa for 60 years and I can't speak Afrikaans. You know, I said, I feel very sorry. Very sorry. My apologies. I said, you see, the reason is, when I went to school, they didn't teach us Afrikaans at school, and that's a fact. But my children knew very well, much more than Afrikaans. But I said, this is my own way, I'm trying to learn the language. And you see, what I do is I use the Bible. I know the Bible extensively by heart in English. So if I want to learn another language, I get a Bible in that language. That's how I learn French. That's how I learn Indonesian. That's how I learn Swahili. Everything, I get a Bible in that language. So I learn Afrikaans, so I get an Afrikaans Bible. And what I already know, I memorize that. So I'm telling the Afrikaner, that's his new language, is a unique language. Actually unique. Actually, all languages are unique, says the Quran. They are all signs of Allah's creation. Every language is miraculous and every language is unique. But yours is more special. It's the youngest of the world's languages, Afrikaans. And I said, it is absolutely unique. I said, you see, use four negatives to prove a positive. You see, in the Gospels in John, chapter 16, verse 7, it says, Ma exagerati bar het. This is for you, for one that Abraham. One state as me, where I'm me, some is to us that me, neither let of me. Ma exagerati, some is from my dear. It says, me. Four negatives to prove a positive. There's not another language of earth which does that. The guy's interested. He knows it's classic.
But I'm doing it's classic. The matter is a Mohammed is good French. Or who knows is good or French. But now this one is speaking is something classic to him. It's 100 hundred from his own life. I'm quoting exactly word for word. He knows what this is about. So I said, this is this is Toaster. If you know this is Holy Ghost, I said, what is it saying? It's Holy Ghost.
Shh, Holy Ghost. The guy doesn't know what he did. By the time you finish, he doesn't know what he did and how it started. He doesn't know. He can't remember. I said, I don't know Afrikaans. But then I was trying to learn your language. Language is how I do it. I mean, your language is a beautiful language. It's a unique language. And then you've got four negatives to prove a positive. It's bad. There's so many ways of getting the people. Shame. Talk to them. Right. The French testified by demanding in France that the literature, that is what I'm talking is very different. The arguments, the presentation, the reasoning, the logic that I'm giving you is a very important aspect. I didn't know how important it was. But I'm just doing my job. This is natural to me. What I know, I want to share. What I know, I want to share. But the enemy realizes your potency. The French, they discovered me, they sent on a books back. Now here is a magazine called the Commission of the Baptist Church in America. The Baptist Church in America, they have a magazine called Commission, come out every month. Beautiful magazine. It is not intended for our wives. not really for you and for me. That's for the Baptist. But I managed to get this copy. And in this copy here, some of the Baptist journalist of this magazine called Permission, he visits South Africa. And in South Africa, he's making mistake to find what the Muslims are doing there. And they find somebody in South Africa whom they call a defender of Islam. Ahmad Didar is a defender of Islam. That's what they discovered. In my absence, they came to my office. And they went around and they had chat, they found out what we are doing. And at the end of it, they say, this is what they're telling to them, the Baptist, Christian Baptist, missionaries. For anyone who would witness to English speaking Muslims, if you want to go to Korea, for anyone, any Christian missionary, wants to come along and talk to English speaking Muslims, people who speak English. For anyone who would witness to English speaking Muslims, especially in Africa, the broadside of Islamic defender, Ahmad Didar, may be required reading. You have to read Ahmad Didar first. Because as soon as they come to you, oh, this is what the Baptist is talking, maybe you talk the same way. You also say, Marek, say, Marek, did you say that? Because you listen to me, he said, if you, and they said, you might find. The guy says that my Bible is God's word. It's the word of God. So you say, no, my Quran is the word of God. The Bible between us, the Muslim and the Christian, is in two books. We say the Quran is Allah's Kalam, word of God. The Christian says the Bible is Allah's Kalam, word of God. The Christian says the Bible is not the word of God. I mean the Quran is not Allah's Kalam, it's not the word of God. The Muslim says the Bible is not the word of God. The Christian says you go to hell. Christian is telling us they come into our homes, drink our tea, eat our fusistas, and our samosas. Samosas and padiyas. And they send us to hell in our own homes. No, man. They drink our tea, eat our fusistas, it's not kind of thing to send us to hell. The guy says, guy, guy, for myself, you guys for yours. And the Muslims are thinking. Really, it puts you in the world. The Muslims couldn't do this. Who died for my sins? He says, Christ died for my sins, you died for yours. So did Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam die for our sins? No. Did Abu Bakr Siddiq die for our sins? He says, no. Omar Usman Ali? He says, no. Hasan Hussein? He says, no. So, we are bankrupt. The Muslims are bankrupt. You died for your sins, Christ died for mine. Now, really speaking, is the most nonsensical question. You know that? It's the most nonsensical question. It's like me asking you that when you are hungry, who eats for you? Sister, when you are headache, who takes the pill for you? When you have a rotten appendix, who gets operated on your behalf? The most nonsensical question. But the Christian is now making us to turn around and say, now look, I'm searching in my town for you. So the Christian said, the Quran is not the word of God. We tell him, the Bible is not the word of God. Correct? He said, you're going to go to hell. We said, you're going to go to hell. What? So Allah tells us, Allah tells us, in Surah Al-Tabut, chapter 29. See, whenever anybody gives you any reference, make a point of fully checking up in your own translation. I said, Al-Tabut, and the A you'll find Al-Tabut. This is chapter 29. You find 29. Ayah number 46. Easy to find. Easy to find. When they found the chapter, Allah says, أَحْلَ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي أَحْسَنُ. And dispute not. We are told, don't dispute with the people of the book. Who are the people of the book? Jews and Christians. Don't dispute with them. إِلَّا بِالَّتِي أَحْسَنُ. But no disputation. But no better than that. No better than the disputation. This is mere disputation. He says, the Quran is not Allah's Quran. He said, the Bible is not the word of God. He said, you can go to hell. He said, you can go to hell. He said, you are black. I said, you are also black. This is mere disputation. Allah says, don't talk like that. But talk something better than that. How do we do better than that? In Mitchell's plane, in the plaza, I was attending to the businessman, and in was a priest pastor, a priest. So I started chatting, he said, he saw my videotape. He says, yes, And the question about that is, not really. So then I said, you see, the dispute between us two are these two books. These two books are dividing us, you see. I said, you see, you say the Quran is not the word of God, and I said, the Bible is not the word of God. He said, yes. But I said, well, I will tell you why. I will tell you why the Bible is not God's word. Why? He said, why? I said, let him give you a title, an example. Your father and your mother, they're sleeping. In the middle of the night, a burglar gets in. And your father wakes up and he grapples with the burglar. But the burglar is too powerful. He throws your father, sits on his chest and strangles him to death. And your father's gasping for breath. He's going to die any minute. And your mother comes to the rescue. Your dear mother comes to the rescue. And she saves your father's life. So your dad says, John, that's your name. So said, John, chop off your mother's hands. So then, are you joking? I said, no, my son, I'm serious. So then, have you been drinking? I said, no, my son, you know, we are going to get Christians. We don't take that stuff. He's not going to get anything. It's inaccurate. We don't take that stuff. Tell daddy, you are crazy. Am I right? I'm asking the pastor. Am I right? If your father tells that your mother's hands must be chopped off for saving his life, then either he's drunk, but which he says he's not, and he's joking, he's not joking, so he's crazy. Am I right? He said, right. But your dad says, I'm inspired. He said, daddy, who inspires you? The devil. He said, no, my son, I'm inspired by God. He said, daddy, you are crazy and your God is also crazy. Am I right? I'm asking the pastor, am I right? If your dad says that you must chop off your mother's hands for saving his life, your reason with the father said, daddy, this woman, my mother, gave you endless pleasures for 40 years. She gave you so many beautiful children. Now she saved your life and you must chop off her hands. Daddy, you are crazy. He said, by God, this is God. He said, daddy, your God is also crazy. Am I right? He said, yes. So I said, now, open. I have the Bible with me. That's a good one. So, anybody can read English well, please come forward. Anybody, any young man, come. Good. Now open it for you. Right, verses 11 and 12. Read it slowly that they can draw the message. When men strike together, When men strike together in the struggle together, one with another, one with another, and the wife of the one, Zorathmia, 54 to the other, for to be able to say, her husband, out of the hand of him, that smiteth him, that's beating him, yes, and putteth forth her hand, and taketh him by the secret, then thou shalt cut off her hand, and thou shalt cut off her hand, thine eye shall not pity her, I shall not pity her. I said, no, you said this by John, that your father is crazy and your God is crazy. The woman who saved your father's life must chop off her hand and your father is crazy and your God is crazy, am I right? He said, well, there must be an explanation. I said, well, there it is. Explain, read it. In the context, there's no context. It's just by itself. This message is by itself. There's nothing before it to connect it and there's nothing after it to connect the verse, two verses. You chop off the woman's hand for saving your father's life. I said, your God is crazy and your father is crazy. Right? He said, but you see, there must be an explanation. I said, no. What you do? Look, I said, I want you to find the explanation. Tonight, that night, in which I was playing in one of the masjid, I was holding a class. I said, exclusive for Muslims. But you, if you can have the answer, you come along and give the answer and we'll be qualified to attend the class. I'd love to see you here tonight. You never turned up. But it's so easy. As I studying us, don't just point a finger and say, you are poor, you don't go to hell. He said, you don't go to hell. So your Quran is not the word of God. So your Bible, don't talk like that. But do it better than that. And it's better than that when you start, you'll find you can, alhamdulillah, you can do the job. And it's a privilege and a pleasure Allah is giving you. statement in the Holy Quran that is given to the deen is the religiosity of Allah. That is the deen. But Islam has a solution to all these problems of the West. One of the biggest problems is racism. Racism. In the whole world, everybody thinks he's better than the other. See? The poor African, see, South Africa is at the bottom end of the ladder, not of the ladder. But he's also a racist. Do you know that? You see, according to the apartheid system, the white man thought the color next to him, and the Indian will go the color, and the African right down at the bottom. That's how the setup was. But now I say, you Africans, though you're complaining against us, you have a right to complain. If we are racist in our behavior, you have a right to complain. But I say, you are no less racist. He said, no, we are not racist. You know, people, we are the unfortunate victims. Some ask me to Zulu. I say, you Zulu? He said, yes. I say, what is Zulu? What is Zulu? Is Zulu in the language of the Zulu means the heavens. We are is Zulu, means we are the heavenly people. The rest of the Africans, you say, they are Isilwane, means they are creatures. The Tora is a creature, the Jwana is a creature, the Zoba is a creature. Creature means it. Right? And I said, is that what you say in your language? You are the Zulu, means the heavenly people. And the rest of the Africans are Isilwane. Creatures. I said, yes. I said, you see, you are also a racist. No, this is sickness. This is a universal sickness. Everybody, to some degree, we would be the least racist. But we can't say we are 100% we are pure. We are angels. We are also racist. We are also sicknesses. But there's a limit. So Islam offers not only tells you, Allah tells us in the Holy Quran, he says, oh mankind, إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَىٰ. Most certainly it is we who have created you from a single pair, from male and a female. وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلًا. And it is we who have made you into nations and tribes. What for? To discriminate against one another? It's a lita'at. That you may recognize one another. This Ahmad, he is a Hindu, an Indian Muslim. This Ahmad is a Malay Muslim. This Ahmad is a Khosa Muslim. This Ahmad is a Zulu. This Ahmad is an English Muslim. This Ahmad is a Scotch man. For purpose of recognition, for meaning and label, Allah has made us unto Ta'arafu. But since we have not had four standards of judging people, Allah gives us a true standard. He said, Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. So most certainly, the noblest in the sight of Allah is He who is the best in conduct. Not black or white, not rich or poor, but if your behavior is better than mine, then you are a better person. And if my behavior is better than yours, then I'm a better person. So nothing to do with whether you're a Malay or I'm a Hindi. So nothing to do with that. Your behavior towards mankind, my behavior towards mankind. So not only talking, but Islam is a system. Everybody talks about the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. Everybody says that. But we know. That's all that. Roman Catholic, different church. The Kavazul, different church. The Basutu, different church. Linguistically, they're divided. Then racially, they're divided. For 300 years, they didn't have a black bishop in this country. The black man was not fit for 300 years to become a bishop. Now we have Bishop Tutu, and we have another good bishop. But now, for 300 years, no black bishops. The white house has to be the ruler, the pastor. Every situation. So the system, Islam brings you together five times a day, the rich and the poor, the black and the white, standing shoulder to shoulder, no gaps left, because the Holy Prophet Muhammad said that when you stand up for prayer, you must not allow the devil to get in between you and your brother. This devil that he was talking about was not the guy we see in the art gallery. You are very complexion. You know, with horns and sharp ears and a tapered about hook. That was better. Nobody will stand, allow him to stand here. You will never be alive. Me too. You will never be alive. The devil that Muhammad was talking about was you yourself. Our racial pride, our arrogance, our religion. I'm white, he's black, I'm rich, he's poor. That devil must not be allowed to come in. So we stand show you to show five times a day, bring you together. System. Talking is worthless. Practice, how to practice it. Islam solves the problem of surplus women. I'm intelligent and I'm very Saudi friend. He tells me it's so easy to start with American. See, the American is the thickest guy for shaving him. You know why? Because physically it's very different. You know, the action, you know, the powers. And the mentality is also like that. You know, just, I'm great, you know, I can explore everybody. You see, that was especially the Indonesians and the Malaysians and the Bengalis. Somehow I happen to be a little expert, but I don't know how it happened. But, generally, our people are all like midget in front of the mighty Texan. So they put that complex. I'm great. Right, what have you got? What have you said? So he is the easiest part. Because he's relaxed. With you, with me, he's relaxed. So this I have found a way. He meets an American, he goes to America, he's the same one from Arabia, yes, he said, go for a wife. Yeah, that's the thing. Wallah, every American fights. I will provide. Now you want to get it, you see. Huh? You need it. No, it's a bait, it's a bait, you see. That's the normal, you see. What I say is, what I mean is that I'm allowed before wives. You see, I don't know why, but I'm allowed before wives. Now the thing has started. You people allow for wives, what about women going for husbands? So now this man is sharing with me what he does. Well, this assault is telling me what he does. So he starts telling me, I said, you have a problem. So you don't have a problem. You don't have a problem. And it's time of his assertion, you have a problem. See, you have 7.8 million more women than men. It's a fact. If every American gets married, there will still be 7.8 million women who won't be able to get husbands in America. Did you know that? That would be 8 million women who can't get husbands. And of the manpower you have, seven, there are 25 million sodomites. For youth, we call them gays. Such a beautiful word, Allah. This word gay is a beautiful word. When I went to school, you were teaching me poetry. Gentle lords and ladies, gay, on the mountain, bombs away. You know, I can't remember the rest. You know, this person is happy and joyous, we say gay, we're happy and gay. So we have 7.8 million women. If every man got married, it will never happen. Man gets cold feet for so many reasons. You know that? Yeah. Even the young man is not married, I said, what's wrong with you? I'll show you Mr. Didas, you know, good family, educated girl, and you know, come on, speak up a bit. He said, and he's coming, and then when the crunch comes along, he finds a good excuse for not to get his stuff. He knows why. See? He doesn't tell you, he won't tell you why. But he's get cold feet. So, a woman, I said, even if she's pregnant, she doesn't mind having a husband. Someone will give her protection. So 7.8 million to start with, women, no husbands. Then your manpower, 25 million sodomites. Another 25 million women can't get husbands. That's 32 million. And your prison population, 98% are males. Your problem is getting compounded. 32 million women can't get husband. So I said, literally, he says, your nation is going to the dogs. Literally, they are going to the dogs. This time offers a solution. If you don't listen, you're simmering your soup. So start this. Anything you can start with. I will let you say, but you are one, you are a liar. You are the message you are me, even if he's one of us. You know what that? Just share. Just talk and talk. Anything, you have a habit. Our hygiene. We are the most hygienic people in the world. Poverty might make the living smaller, but we are the most hygienic people on earth. Now, you can go into any type of explanation, you might help your neighbors for a cup of tea in the Busistas and open the Quran, the birth of Jesus, the good people, the birth of Jesus, and show them something, this is really me, this is what the Quran says. So before the angel said, O Mary, inna Allah astafaki, Allah has chosen thee, wa taharaki, purified thee, wa astafaki Allah Musa al-Alamin, chosen thee, above the women of all nations, and so on. Lead thee to that. Wallah, we'll be able to do a job of work. We need them. We need our neighbors. We can't afford to live like this, because ethnic cleansing is taking place in Bosnia, and the same thing can happen here. It can happen. And when that comes about, this is these people that are indigestible. You can't digest them. You can't assimilate them. So only way is to exterminate them. Then the African and the Christian, Christian, at the moment we carry the same identity, but the Khadar, the African, the white man, everybody will join the Indian Christian, everybody will join in trying to exterminate us. I said, now, why? That one will start talking, shaving, and shaving the everybody. We can change, wallah, we can change. Allah has given us the deen, this is the irreparable deen. The deen, if we apply, it is a master of the Masufa seen them all, fully, who knows them all, fully, whether Khadir the Mushir doing, Allah says, never mind how the Mushrik might not like it. This is the destiny of his deen. So my dear brothers and sisters, I have taken much of your time and I will allow myself for you to ask questions. Thank you very much for this beautiful reception. JazakAllah Khairan.
Shukran Jazeelan, Brother Ahmad. I trust that I speak on behalf of all the people here. We thank you for having spent some time with us this evening, having once again put us on your itinerary. I would like to say that one day when you are called up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there will be many witnesses to be able to say, Ahmad Dinat has done his job. There's no doubt about that. But Ahmad Dinat has done his job well. He has presented for us over all the years with all of the ammunition that we would ever need to have a civilized discussion with those people who run Islam down. He has printed these booklets either free or at a very, very cheap price. 5 rands for a book of this nature and this caliber. 10 rands for this beautiful volume, this encyclopedia, this book of laws of Allah's Kalam. And those are only some of the things. The problem that we have is we are indeed pleased to see so many ladies here this evening. Shukran, you are the mothers of the Ummah. We are pleased to see so many brothers here. And I've been with Brother Ahmad since 1984, the first time I joined his program. And you'll be surprised to see the same people here every time. That's lovely. It means they get some beautiful benefit from it. Or maybe there are some who come for the entertainment. But I'm sure it is not Brother Ahmad's intention to entertain us. Then you should have been on Greenpoint track tonight. Al Jerome is there. You missed that, by the way. But with the ammunition he's given us, we must please continue the work which he has been doing. He's not here forever. And if we can promise ourselves and promise him that we will carry on with the help of the tools he's put in our hands, then he can live in peace. We now come to question time. The questioning, there's a microphone, front of the microphone.
Well, people are trying to think about the questions. Let me have a word with you. This book, The Choice. This is part of the work that the French had turned back. This book here, The Choice. Some 236 pages here. Hardcover, gold embossed, hardcover, 5 rounds. Now, we Muslims are really not a reading people. Allah Ta'ala describes us as a people of community. The first word of wahi that Allah gives over Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the word fitra, read. But in our practice we don't read, not even newspapers. So most of the people don't even read newspapers. We are not a reading people. But now if you are a reading person, you'll find out the value of the book. Here, I have a book in my hand here, and the title of the book is Bring Out the Magic in Your Mind. Bring out the magic in your mind, positive thinking. And I'm interested in things like that. The worldwide bestseller that can launch you on the road to success. Who doesn't like to be launched on the road to success? So I picked up this book from the bookshop. And I looked at the price. It says 24.99 plus GST. 24.25 pounds. Similar number of pages to mine. 25 pounds plus GST. I said, I don't want it. But then I see the word here, Al-Quran. I said, well, something must be about Al-Quran. So I haven't bought it, I got caught. This guy, a Christian fellow, has used this as a money tool, like a penny. I got caught 25 pounds. Just compare with that. Hardcover, stolen property, or liquidation shop. I assure you, it's neither stolen property nor liquidation stock. It's highly subsidized. We want you to have it. Buy it for your friends, non-Muslim friends, Muslim friends, your brother-in-law. Buy it for 5 rands each. Buy a few at a time. 5 rands each. Hello? And by the time you bought it, they're finished, you can get them in the hospital. In the same hospital avenue, this one is on, hospital avenue, hospital supermarket. 10 rands for the Quran. A veritable encyclopedia of 2,000 pages, 10 lakhs. And this book here, 5 lakhs. Right, any questions? Thank you, my sir. Alhamdulillah. Here's my sister.
I'd like to ask a question. I'm really curious about it. Mr. Ahmed, you have to speak to us now. The Quran is the word of Allah. And the Bible is so-called the word of Jesus Christ, or the Lord, what they call. But what I would like to know is, after when you have studied the Bible, have you ever come across a verse where it was stated that Jesus Christ or God said? Because as far as I'm studying, it's all some Luke 6, some Marks, some Paul's, Matthew's, but never once did I come across that Jesus said, could you please pray that for me?
Yes, my sister. You see, the Bible, we say is not the word of God, per se, as a whole, is not the word of God. But there is a word of God inside. There are statements, like for example, we quote in the book what the Bible says about Muhammad, a verse called Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18, where it says, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth. Who is this I talking? You ask the Jew, he says God. You ask the Christian, he says, who's talking? He says God. It sounds like Allah's kalam. I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto the Father that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he, that prophet, shall speak in my name, I will be quiet of him. It sounds like the word of God, and I have no hesitation in accepting that as the word of God. Then we read again in the book of Isaiah. God speaks to Isaiah, said, I am God and there's none else. I am God and there's none like me. No hesitation in accepting that God is talking. There's a type of evidence in the Bible which we can recognize any sensible person that it sounds like God talking. Then there's another type of evidence in the Bible where it sounds like Jesus talking, the man of the prophet of God. He says, it has been said by them of old time that thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, whosoever looked upon a woman will not after her and committed adultery with her word in his heart. Now this is what I say unto you. Who is talking? Jesus. Not God. Jesus is talking. It has been said by them of old time, and I have an eye and a tooth for the truth. But I say unto you, who says I? Jesus. So we find that the word of God is there, the word of the prophet is there. Then we find another type of evidence in the Bible, where it says that Jesus was going forth into the way. Jesus, saw a tax collector called Matthew. He came up to him, Matthew, and said unto him, Matthew, follow me, Jesus, and he, Matthew, followed him. Now, this is not the word of God, this is not the word of Jesus, and not even the word of Matthew. Now, it's so simple. Somebody else is talking, maybe an eyewitness or any witness. So now we Muslims, when we say we believe in the Torah, we believe in the Zabur, we believe in the Injil, and we believe in the Furqan. Furqan is the Quran. When we say Torah, Zabur, and Injil, what we mean is that the wahi, the revelation Allah gave to Musa alayhi salam, that wahi we call Torah. The wahi, or the revelation that Allah gave to Daud alayhi salam, that revelation we call Zabur. And the revelation, the wahi, Allah gave to Isa alayhi salam, Jesus Christ, that we call Injil. Now, the Christians have, in Arabic Bible they write, Injil Mark Matthew. Injil Mark, that's the Gospel of Matthew, Gospel of Mark, Injil Luke, Gospel of Luke, Injil Yohanna, Gospel of John. This is Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We say, we believe in the Injil Isa, the Gospel of Jesus. Have you got it? He hasn't got it. You see, we believe in the revelation Allah gave to Isa alayhi salam. Because the Bible says that when he went to a certain place, he preached the gospel. He went to another place, the Bible says, and he preached the gospel. And he went to somewhere else and he preached the gospel. I said, did he ever go under his arm? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Or Acts? Or Philippians, Galatians, Corinthians, Thessalonians? What did he have under his arm? Did he ever walk? No. So what did he preach? What he preached is right. What Allah gave him, he preached. If you can have it, if you got it, we ask the Christian, show it to us and we'll accept it. But you haven't got it. They have a Bible called the Red Letter Bible. You can have it expressly, Red Letter Bible. That Red Letter Bible means everything that Jesus is supposed to have spoken. Those words are in red. And you will find that 90% of that Bible is black. 90% of that New Testament, those 27 books, is black. No one ever thought. 90%. So that is what they're telling us, that 90% is not even, from no point of view, is not even the word of Jesus. So what we say is that the wahi given to them, we accept, but they haven't got it. It's all written by man. Then there are other types of evidence in the Bible, which do decent men in meekness, mother, or wife, or sister, or daughter. And I'm from the 10 classes. You see, just to send a group of 30.
And I show you, argue that there are things here that when you make a Christian to read, when he visits your house, I said, open up for him, Genesis chapter 19, verse 13, and give him a name. This Mushi is going to come to your house. Say, do please. Please. And you watch. Watch him. He's going to scan up his words. And he smells a rat, and he won't read it. He won't change the subject. They will never look at us like that.
They will never surprise him. And he says, listen, I want you to read this. If he doesn't, I say, you read it. After reading it, ask him, what is the moral of this? Filthy, dirty stories. And I take another. Incest. Father committing incest with his daughters. Son with his mother. Father-in-law with his daughter-in-law. Brother making sister. And one of the son of Dawud alayhi salam, he raised his mother's voice saying, he raised some old project in this book of Quran. But now we don't know, so they're pushing down your throat. They're pushing this book down your throat because we don't know what you're bargaining for. But once you know, then it's another book. Read this now. You tell me. Do you read this to your mother? Can you read this to your sister? Can you read this to your daughter? And even to your fiance, if she's a good lady, you can't read it to her. So you must be armed. You must be armed. But otherwise, about seven or eight masjids are below the box. And every masjid are asking the question, is there a single Muslim whose block has not been knocked by a Christian yet? Put up your hand. First masjid, not one. Second masjid, not one. Third masjid, not one. Fourth masjid, not one. Fifth one guy put up his hand, one old man. I didn't know whether he understood my question, but I didn't have to ask him whether he's given an IV power, you know, out of reach from all the background. Then, this yesterday also, I met another man, another old man. But 100% everybody's door is being knocked. I say, is that the rule Islam offers for us? That we become a doormat for people, doormat who they come to wipe their feet upon us, who use us as a punching bag. Practice. This is not the rule. Allah says, he's given you the rule, you use the hearer one and then go there. It is to master open and supersede them all. To live. وَكَفَىٰ بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا. And enough is Allah is a witness to this fact. He said that he's going to make his deen to prevail with you or without you. There is a proof that Allah has given you that we can share his deen, do the works of the prophets of God, and earn the prophet's reward if you will take it. But we have to be armed. In this environment, also of Christianity,
this is a portion of Christianity, and they are making a concerted effort to see that they change us. If not we, our children. But now we have to turn the tables, and the only way we can turn the tables is Anisa. Get this into booklets, master at verse and talk. Master at verse and talk. Even neighbors. I'm not talking about professionals. The professionals, there's a special treatment for them. But the ordinary people, show them the Quran, read the Quran, read this little booklet of mine, and share it. Inshallah, we'll be able to do this. We need you, my sisters. We need you. The Muslims are fighting with one hand. The Christian is fighting with both. We are really coming out of your door. They're both working, husband and wife, they're working. We are only the man who's working. If at all. So it's about time that my sisters also got involved. Yes, my sister.
My question is, it's obvious that the New World Order is anti-Islamic and the target is the Muslim world. Why are the Muslims so passive about it? Why aren't they doing anything about it? And they like it. That it's in front of being immobilized by a light. What's happening to the Muslims?
It is my sad. Well, it's very sad. It is very sad. You see, we have stopped doing the job of Dawah for 1,000 years. We have learned it. Initially, the Muslims came out from the desert classes. They went to do business with our people in India. And our people might even get into contact with them and say, these Arabs are good people. We also like to be one of you. This is very easy. Give the hand. So we gave the hand of our fathers, my grandfathers. This is a lie, I did not know Rasulullah, we did it. I said, not alone, you're a Muslim. You're a Muslim, you don't eat the pig, don't eat the animals, don't eat blood, don't drink alcohol, whatever this will be associated. Make salat, so we go do like this. So we joined. We joined. They went to Malaysia, same thing. They went to Indonesia, same thing. East Africa, West Africa. The Arab paid their people with the people. He didn't go out matching his wits against the Hindus, my people, or against the Buddhists. The Indonesians were Buddhists before. They did go around teaching themselves, this Buddha is not a god, and spinning. They just said good behavior, it attracted the people. But not today, people are brainwashed. You see, the people are brainwashed, and now you have to talk. You have to learn to talk, but they haven't been talking for 1,000 years. We went and conquered Spain. 800 years. 800 years of Muslims in Spain. And then 800 years, eventually, when they were kicked out, there was not one man left in that country to give their side. Why? You didn't do the job. You didn't do the job. So the thing is now, because you didn't do the job, you lost the art. So somehow, by circumstances, I was forced into these situations. So I now give my experience and look, man, it's so easy to talk to the American, to the British, to the French. You can have given a chance to talk to them. You can bulldoze anybody. Whether it be a Hindu, Christian, Jew, atheist, anybody we can do those if you are given the opportunity, intellectual. Not with a gun. Even if we have the laser gun. Allah says, like rafid day, no compassion to it. You can't use it. This for life. But with the intellect, we can do the job. Allah, we can do the job. But now, since we didn't do the job for 1,000 years, you must be art. Your forefathers, you know, I don't know if you might remember, most of them Malaysian tailors and carpenters and things like that. But if you don't do this tailoring for 5 years, 10 years, it's gone. You can't even make a buttonhole. Do you know that? You know this buttonhole is an art. You make this buttonhole. Cutting the hole is easy. But to cut the thing, thread right down and to protect the hole from spreading, it's an art. If you did do the job, you say, look, your grandfather was a decorator, a good tailor. And your great grandfather was a good tailor. You can't make a buttonhole, sister. What's wrong? You didn't do the job. So we stopped doing the job, therefore we find ourselves in this situation. Militarily, we are not a power. Compared to this, we are nothing. But intellectually, we can give battle to them all and win them all. Make them our slaves. We can make them our slaves. Voluntarily, the person can become a slave. Once he recognizes that this is the haq, this is the right way, and when he opts for it, he will fight harder than we are. But the thing now is, we have to start in our immediate environment. I can't tell you why the Arabs doing this, and why the Turks doing that, and why the Pakistanis doing that, but wherever I go, I want to get started in your own environment. The Christian is not near to go in Pakistan. They are boasting, they have converted more Pakistanis into Christianity since independence than the previous 100 years of British rule. They have converted more Bangladeshis into Christianity since independence than in the previous 100 years of British rule. They have converted 15 million Indonesians into Christianity. And by the turn of the century, they will make Indonesia a Christian nation. We have every sign that they will succeed. So the thing is now
that's our plan, that we have our own little environment, we start opening our heart. That would be, is the start in our own environment. According to our capacity, just talk and talk. And inshallah, everybody starts waking up to the responsibility. We'll do the good in some things. I am in place with a lady at work with regards to the mission. Okay? I told them how to have an inspection of the Bible. But she brought another copy to me. And on the cover, there's a man standing there with the sword. As if to say now that Islam came about as a result of the sword. And so I know that, this cannot be. You know, I try to prove myself. But now I don't answer from you now how I can give a better answer. The insinuation that this lady you're talking about, she makes, is that Islam was spread at the point of the sword. And she produced a book with a picture that on the cover, drawing myself was by hand, handwriting, to say man with the sword, assuming, presuming that it's Muhammad, that his spirit is written at the point of the sword. That's the charge. But I said, look, you know, we'll find Thomas Carlyle, one of the greatest people of the past century, in 1840. He delivered a series of talks on the topic, the human and human worship. And he chose our Nabi as his hero prophet, 1840, one of the greatest speakers of the past century. And he defended our Nabi against the charge of the sword. He said, the sword indeed, but where did you get your sword? He said, every new opinion at its beginning is precisely in the minority of one. In one man's head alone, they did not as yet. That one man taken a sword and tried to propagate it, that will do little for him. One man against the whole world. Because the mushriks of Makkah, they were not waiting for a prophet. They were not waiting for a leader. They were satisfied with the idol worship. Here comes another man, as this guy Lalati described, you know, smallness of means, no political party to back him up, no religion to back him up. It's one man against all men. And he take a sword and try to propagate with that and do it for him. So first you must get your sword. Now talking about the sword, your Jesus, your Lord Jesus, he says. Luke chapter 19, verse 27, he says, for those of my enemies who will not that I should rule over them, bring them hither and slay them before him. Your Lord. This is King Peter, I've come to send peace on earth. I come not to send peace with a sword. And what do I care if the fire is already lit? Is that your Jesus? Who's God? Your Jesus Christ. He is the man of the sword. He went to the temple and he beat up the people in the temple with a whip, a foreign whip. And he threw it up to the tables of the money changers and he whipped them and chased them out of the temple. Your God, Jesus. Now you show any such example of Muhammad. There's nothing. So we are consulting something. But now look at your own book. Jesus said, judge not that you will not judge. For you will judge when you judge, you shall be judged. And you don't measure in me, you shall be measured unto you. So you say, perfect. Why do you see the moon in your brother's eyes and see another beam in that own eye? So first take out the beam from your own eye. This is the lesson for that lady of yours. Show her. This is what your Bible says about Jesus, that he said he's come with a sword and he's come to light fire, and what do I say? It was already late.
I would like to know how you envisage a new world order. If in the first period of Islam, when the numbers of Muslims were not so large, they conquered far more land and they were better able to protect themselves, and with Muslims having increased up to a billion almost now, they are not able to defend themselves in the later periods, ethnic cleansing, and even the onslaughts and the encroachment of other morals in the society. How do you envisage a new world order if by numbers we really increasing we manage to convert numbers to profit?
The new world order is to be based on a new world constitution. And that constitution is the Quran. It gives a solution to all your problems. Jesus Christ, he told his disciples before parting, he said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. You haven't got that capacity. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you all through. For he shall not speak for himself, but what things shall he hear, that shall he speak, and he shall declare unto you the things that are to come. He shall glorify me. We say that Spirit of truth is Muhammad, who left behind this constitution to establish the kingdom of God on earth. It is the most important now to propagate and make people aware, make them become more conscious, to establish this new order. Yes.
I converted to Islam about 1.5 years ago. But I come from a very staunch Christian family. My grandfather is a pastor.
Yes.
I guess my question is just, what advice do you have to people like me with very close Christian family?
Yes. My advice is, the generally, the non-Muslim, they don't know the high position that Jesus Christ occupies in the house of Islam. They do. When we are telling them that we believe in Jesus, they think it's hypocritical. Even just don't get left out. Trying to be nice with them so they can be nice with us. That is what they are assuming. So the best way is, if you have a Quran, it says, Mommy, Daddy, just listen to this. Just listen to this. What do you think about this? And if you can read it to your mommy and daddy. So I saw the thing of life to your Maryam. So behold, the angel said, O Mary, Inna Allah astafaki, Allah has chosen thee, wa taharaki, purified thee, wa astafaki ala nisa'il alamin, chosen thee above the women of all nations. So mommy, daddy, such an honor is not to be found to Mary, the mother of Jesus, even in the Christian life. What makes Muhammad say these things? He is honoring Mary, the mother of Jesus, that she is a woman chosen above the women of all nations. What makes an Arab, in the first instance, telling other Arabs, actually provoking them, that the Jewess, the mother of Jesus, she was chosen above the women of all nations? Not his own mother, or wife, or daughter. Maybe we believe that his brother Fatima will be the leader of the women of paradise. We believe that. But her name is not even mentioned in the Quran. But Mary, not only was she the only woman whose name is mentioned, but there is a chapter in the Quran called Surah Maryam, chapter Mary, in honor of the name of the Lord of Jesus. Such an honor is not to be found given to in our Bible, the Roman Catholic Bible, 73 books, not one is Maryam. The Protestant Bible, 66 books, not one is Maryam. But in the Quran, there is a chapter called Surah Maryam, chapter Mary, in honor of the name of the Mother of Jesus Christ. Now, what is the getting stuck in the throat? The form of the news. You are Maryam, who is the Rabbi, who was to be working in our Rabbi, so Mary, worship her devoutly, prostrate yourself and bow down and pray with those who bow down. By Ghaibi, Muhi, Reika. This is part of the tidings of the things unseen, which will reveal and reveal a possible inspiration. The Lord in the Arabian is the truth. This is in Puna, Alamahun. He said, you will not be in Muhammad when they cast lots with arrows as to which of them should be charged with the claim of Mary. Nor was that with them when they disputed the point. And it continues. But he started to tell my life that to your Maryam, before the angel said to Mary, Inna Allah, you are shiruki in the kalimat in Mimbu, that Allah gives you glad tidings of the word from him. Yes, we will not see. His name is the Messiah, Isa and Maryam, Jesus the son of Mary, Rashidun in Dunya wa Akhirah, in honor in this world and in the hereafter, for we then have again that the company of those nearest to God. Now, when you read this, let's say, if you can't read Arabic now, just read it in English, and if the person is not jaundiced, not really sick spiritually, jaundiced sick, will be able to appreciate. This is wonderful. This is beautiful. Now, all the story is something closest to his heart, closest to our heart, what you are reading there. And there is not a single word that you can take exception to. Sinner, mommy, daddy, brothers, and mother, parents. Why do you say all these beautiful things? But this is the birth of Jesus. When the good news is given to Mary about the birth of the Holy Child. The Holy Child. She says, Father, let me know your community. What are you? What are you? She says, oh my Lord, how shall I have a child when women has touched me? So the angel says in reply, even so, Allah creates what he wills. He's a tada amrani, whenever he decrees a matter, for innama yakum lahu The nearest will be in the days. What am I to pray to Jesus without a human father? The good answer is just like that. He wants to pray to him in Jesus without father, without mother, just like that. But the Bible says, but there's a minus. The Bible says the Holy Ghost will come upon thee, and the power of the Most High will overshadow thee, giving people the mental picture of that man or an animal having a relationship. The Holy Ghost will come on her, and the power of the Most High will overshadow her. The Quran says for God to create just like that. When they read this, I have read this to Christians. And this says, man, this is exactly like my book. I see it on the face of it. If a Christian reads that without the Arabic being read, in 100 years, your father or your mother will never get to reading the Quran. In 100 years, if he keeps on reading, he might think maybe this is the Roman Catholic version of the Bible if he hasn't seen one. Maybe this is the Greek Orthodox version of the Bible if he hasn't seen one. Or maybe this is the New World Translation of Jehovah's Witnesses if he hasn't seen one. But he will never get to reading the Quran. You know why? Because it's so close to his heart. Maybe the heart is not disease. It means my spiritual jaundice. Not if the person is jaundiced, like the father of Abraham. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he reasons with his father. He says, oh my father, yeah, but you know, the knowledge has come to me which has not reached. Oh my father, 4 times in succession, every hour. Oh my father, oh my father. This is how the beautiful son, the beautiful daughter to do. Oh my father, oh my baby, I can't do that. But now, at the end of it, the father reacts. He says, hey, Ibrahim, get out of my sight for a good long while. I'll show you to death. That can happen. In that case, we say, well, it's a heart of major child of our son. And then we meet the ignorant one who embraces you elegantly, say, peace. Your mother and your father, still your mother and father. You go to love them, respect them, live with them, but don't follow them. But in matters of religion, that is the only thing. Otherwise, we can still love them, kiss them, walk with them. And if you are good with your mother, then you have every right to do all of the things that you're supposed to.